The Reduced Shakespeare Company is back in town. They're doing their brand new show, Completely Hollywood Abridged, over at the Studio Theater stage of the St. Louis Rep. They are known for starting out with Shakespeare and then moving on to the Bible and civilization and America and the great books and so many other things that they have condensed through the years, or abridged, as I'm sure they prefer to say. I'm happy to welcome Reed Martin and Austin Tischner and Dominic Conti from the Completely Hollywood cast here to the studio. Hi, guys. Good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Paul, I'm Austin.
I'm Reed.
I'm Dominic.
And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And in the case of at least two of you, welcome back.
Thank you.
That's right. Dominic is the new guy. You've only been part of the RSC for, is it this year you joined?
It was fall of 2004.
Yeah. Okay, so you've been with them a year, and they still have you dressing up like a girl mostly.
They sure do. It's one of the main allures of the company.
we don't have to fight real hard to get him into that skirt.
No, they asked me one time. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I noticed they also have you doing all the running because they're old guys now.
That's right. This is hire somebody young and fit.
They write the script. I read it. It says Dominic runs around the stage 50 million times.
Throws himself to the floor.
Yeah.
I prefer to think of myself as youth free.
Well, you do a great job with the physical comedy.
Oh, thanks.
And these two guys, Reed and Austin, have written this as well as the other shows that the RSC has done. I'm going to ask you a silly interviewer's question. Why Hollywood?
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Well, Dominic has a theory. What is it about Hollywood? You said something about the
it's the iconography of contemporary culture.
Good point.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what that means, but that was a good point. Yes. Yeah.
We've been thinking about it. You know, people used to read and discuss books, you know. Now people.
Not in my lifetime, but.
No, I'm talking about in the olden
right.
days.
Right.
Now we read movies.
Yes. Now, closed captioning.
Closed captioning.
So, but it's kind of the shared culture, you know. And so, you know, it's a business. It's what people talk about.
Well, and it's also, at first we thought, oh, that's just going to be far too unimportant a topic to cover. You know, usually we tackle the great topics like Shakespeare and the great books and the Bible and American history. But we thought, oh, this is too trivial. But then as we thought about it, you know, movies are the culture of the 21st century. And it's truly a global culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one little town, for the most part, in Southern California puts out this culture for the entire world. And it's America's second largest export after weapons. So,
and it's sort of cultural imperialism. It's its own kind of weapon.
Yeah.
But Shakespeare was the most popular form of entertainment in his day, and movies is the most popular form of entertainment in our day.
Weekend
so
at Bernie's,
like,
too, is a considerable weapon against you. Know, your
true.
Sense of decency
weapon
and taste.
Crime
and,
against humanity. Yeah.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Weapons of mass distraction.
So if you're going to continue going along with the important things in people's lives, will there eventually be the complete blogosphere abridged?
Ooh. We can't really say.
Oh. Yeah. I don't want to give away future plans for the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I'm not sure what that would consist of, just three of us typing on the computers with one hand, which just seems unnecessary.
That did seem unnecessary, yes. All right, so when you were going to take on Hollywood, did you say to yourself, okay, we're going to have to go after the big movies, but let's not do something about this movie? Were there certain movies you said, that's it, we can't joke about that?
Wow.
I Am Curious Yellow.
We said we can't joke about that because we've never seen that. Or the other thing that comes up is we can't joke about that because I can't think of a joke.
Yeah, I can't think about that because that's still under copyright. Kind of an issue for the show.
This is the challenge, you know, because in the Shakespeare and all the great books and the Bible, you know, the original authors are, I was going to say dead, but the original
let's not
authors
go there.
Either dead or re-risen, one of the two.
Yes, but in any event, they're not around to sue. That's the most important thing. And
their attorneys are dead.
God's attorney is dead.
Losers.
But in the case of Hollywood, of course, all those movies are under copyright by large corporate interests with vast resources.
Larger than the Reduced Shakespeare Company?
Hard to believe, but true.
If you can imagine such a thing. So that focused us away from, you know, we don't do the Reduced Gone with the Wind. We don't do the Reduced Star Wars. We don't do that because that would be a violation of intergalactic copyright, I believe.
In fact, you just mentioned Star Wars. George Lucas's people got on the phone immediately. Hey!
Yes.
We didn't get permission for that.
Oh, my God.
on, the lights are flashing out there. All these calls. They're all lawyers.
So we tackle the mindset, really, the Hollywood mindset, which has come to pervade every aspect of life. I mean, politicians now have to be, you know, glamorized via Hollywood.
Yeah, and we talk about product placement and the pretense and all the cliches. I mean, the second act is our own sort of independent epic movie with every cliche you've ever seen.
That's right. Well, and I play the star of our independent epic, and Reed and Dominic both compliment me, saying that I'm a wonderful satire on Hollywood divaism, and I don't know what they're talking about.
I think you play it from the heart.
Yeah, I do.
Share with us, if you would, some of those cliches of Hollywood.
Dominic has at times said, you know, you don't learn anything from most movies.
Which is absolutely untrue.
And I completely disagree. You know, because every movie teaches you something.
Well, that's right. Because remember, we were talking about it. The Jungle Book actually taught me that it's good for little boys to play with wild bears.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like I learned from the Star Trek movies that although today you can fire missiles at targets you can't even see halfway around the world, in the 23rd century, you need to be within visual range.
I've seen that in like three movies.
Yeah,
I think
right.
I see where you're going. Like I learned from the movies that all black soldiers can play the harmonica.
Yeah, exactly. Or that a single lit match can illuminate an entire underground cavern.
Yeah, that's right. And that the monster is never really dead the first time you kill it.
Mm-hmm. Right. The bad guys always reveal their evil plan just seconds before killing the hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what I learned from the movies? That if the pilot dies, the tower can teach pretty much anybody to land a 747.
That's the Karen Black rule.
Exactly.
Yes. I've seen that one. Yes.
Did you know that speeding cars... No, a zombie that can barely move is faster than a human being running at full speed.
Yeah, you know, I was just explaining that to my daughter a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how the subject came up, but we were talking about zombies.
Your daughter, Margaret. That's right, I remember.
Stop that.
Don't. I'm sorry, Janet. My bad.
No, but we've talked about that, about how zombies move. There was something where she and her friends were talking about. Zombies or something, and they were all running around with their arms in front of them, and I said, no, that's not how zombies move. Like, I've seen zombies in real life.
In real life, here's what zombies
are. Yeah, I, of course, only know movie zombies, and it's got to be the shuffling zombie.
Exactly.
And then I was explaining to them, now, if you chase her by movie rules, at some point she must stumble and fall over a tree root.
Right. Twist her ankle.
Over a bubblegum wrapper.
In that remake of Dawn of the Dead and 28 Days Later, those zombies are hustling.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, you'd have a hard time running from those guys. I'm not saying it's beating the 4 minute mile, but they're moving.
But these are some of the things we debate. Now, are the creatures in 28 Days Later actually zombies, or are they infected by a virus?
That made them zombies.
That turned them dead and then reanimated them.
Pretty much. They never eat. They had suffered from that thing, rage.
Rage,
and they just
looked
to kill. And they didn't eat anybody.
Virus,
so
they need... What is it? Tama zombie flu.
Yeah.
Or just B complex. Something. Yeah. They don't even make an effort. I mean, these zombies are a disappointment to everyone, really.
Get out in the sun a little bit. I think you probably would laugh.
Yeah.
I thought sun killed. No, that's vampires.
Yeah, yes. Right, yeah. Oh, my God. You have to see our show. You don't know any of the rules.
Oh, wait. I did. I saw it on Tuesday night and laughed out loud several times.
It's different now.
I heard you both of those times. That was great.
Yes.
When you're working at a place like the Rep, this is not actually the official opening of the show. You're working towards doing the opening somewhere else. So this is actually a work in progress here?
It's, you know, we're developing this new show. It's a full-blown production. But when we create a new show, it changes. It evolves over time. Mm-hmm. So this is still early in the show's life, so we're learning a lot while we're performing.
Now, explain what that means, early in the show's life. It's actually several months old. It's not like last weekend you guys sat in an apartment and went, yeah, put that in!
Well, we did that last night. Last night we did that.
Yeah, people say, well, how does it change? We're literally... The lights are going down. We go, hey, let's try this tonight. Okay.
It does change every night. We wrote it back in May, and we did 8 performances back in late June. Then we took it to England, where we taught a cast over there, and they premiered at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. They are now on a full year-long tour of Britain. I don't know where they are tonight, Manchester or someplace in England. And
Princeton, New Jersey.
Princeton, New Jersey. Yeah, that's in New England.
It's a suburb of Jersey.
That's old England.
Princeton, Jersey.
Frampenshire.
And so...
Heights.
On the Elbe. And then we came back here, and so we made changes based on what we saw there. We came back here to St. Louis, and so I think really, for us, this is like our 20th performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tonight will be the 21st performance. You know, it's that's how new it is. You know, coming up next at the Rep on the main stage is our play All the Great Books Abridged, which Reed and I wrote and Reed directed. But this is a script that we've done now for 4 years. That that baby's kind of honed pretty well.
Yeah, the books thing. Yeah, that's
that opens that on the main stage. Official opening is December 2nd. So that's a script that we've honed and honed and honed for 4 years. And then after we've toured it for 3 or 4 years, we publish it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to be the first non-Reduced Shakespeare Company professional production of all the great books. So that'll be running for the month of December.
So in addition to Completely Hollywood going on this month at the Studio Theater at the Rep, you're also putting on the main stage production next month of another cast doing your work in All the Great Books Abridged.
Yes.
And you're spending your days directing that.
Yes, I'm going, I think, about 28 hours a day.
Wow.
Yes.
8 days a week.
Yes, directing from 10 to 5 and then having nap and dinner and then going and doing the other show at night.
And so by the time you get to the evening, you're exhausted and these guys are fresh.
They're fresh anyway. Yeah, yeah, you look at them. Look at them. These are two of the freshest guys I've ever seen.
Hello.
Lady.
Take your hand off my leg.
If you want to get tickets to see these guys tonight and right through the weekend and next week as well,
next week as well, yeah.
Yeah, 314-968-4925 is the number for the Rep, or you can get tickets online at repstl.org. Now, we've got a couple minutes here, and I'd like you to do another chunk of the play for me, and it is from the second act where you guys are doing great movie combos.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This is what we're just talking
about. You know, we've come to the conclusion that all new movies are just a combination of two old movies, you know. And so it's like this. It's like Paul Newman and Robert Redford pull a scam on Yul Brynner in a movie called The Sting and I.
I like that.
You like that?
Or Michael Douglas teaches Freddy Krueger that greed is good in Nightmare on Wall Street.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's one. Meg Ryan fakes an orgasm for Clint Eastwood when Dirty Harry Met Sally.
Yes. How about this, folks? Right. Robin Williams, in his first war picture since Good Morning Vietnam, will call it Courage Under Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
Patrick Swayze teaches Native Americans the cha-cha in Dirty Dances with Wolves.
And frankly, Patrick Swayze just happy to get work.
Yeah.
In anything.
Or a mention from us or anything.
He sent us a photo in
Fingers crossed, yeah. Roadhouse 2.
See, Lucas sues over Star Wars.
Yes.
Swayze says thanks.
Yes. Swayze writes and says, can you give me a part? Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another. A classic with a twist. Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn tour Australia in drag. Priscilla, the African queen of the desert.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. We have Eddie Murphy and Winona Ryder in Doctor Dolittle Women.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, that didn't come on. Sorry. It's a family show here, for goodness sake.
Yeah, here's one for the family, both old and young. Abbott and Costello meet the Fockers.
Mm-hmm. For the family.
It seems like a collision of genres.
So glad you pronounced that correctly.
Here's the hilarious new African comedy starring John Cleese and Don Cheadle, A Fish Called Rwanda.
Ooh.
Very good. How about this? Spike Lee gets upset at a dog and some meddling kids in Scooby-Doo the Right Thing.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah. This one has Oscar winner written all over it. Kevin Bacon teaches a disabled writer to dance in My Left Foot Loose.
I moved.
That's Oscar material, absolutely.
It is, for your consideration.
Yeah. Or the 80s are back in Blue Lagoonies.
Yeah, and all singing, all dancing aboard a German submarine in Das Showboat.
Yes. Okay.
There you go. Right. Very good.
Good stuff. All right. It's the Reduced Shakespeare Company in Completely Hollywood Abridged, playing at the Rep through next week. Go see these guys by getting tickets at 314-968-4925 or online at repstl.org. We're back in a minute with the Paul Harris Show and more from the Reduced Shakespeare Company on News Talk 1120 KMOX. It's the Paul Harris Show every weekday afternoon from 2 until 6 here on News Talk 1120 KMOX and worldwide on the internet on my website, harrisonline.com. Sitting in the studio today with Reed Martin, Austin Titchener, and Dominic Conti, the cast of Completely Hollywood Abridged, the new show at the Rep from the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And if I can just ask you two guys to hold on for a second, Mr. Titchener here is also a TV star. I'm watching Regis a couple of mornings ago, and James Spader was on with Regis, and they go to show a clip from Boston Legal, and darned if I don't recognize somebody standing behind Mr. Spader. It's you, Austin.
Yes, I am always the guy in the tie standing behind James Spader. And many other great Emmy-winning stars.
Yeah, you've done The West Wing, and name some of the other shows you've done.
The West Wing, ER, 24, Alias, The Practice, and Ally McBeal, the producers of the Boston Legal shows, and Everwood, Felicity, some of the heartwarming WB shows, you know? So I'm over.
And in all of those, you're the white-collar guy in a tie.
Yeah, I'm a guy in a tie.
They never look at you and go, serial killer in a T-shirt.
No, and I've tried. I've worked for the people who cast Deadwood before on other shows. They cast NYPD Blue and they cast Mr. Sterling. They'll put me in any show that requires a coat and a tie, but I want to get on Deadwood. Mm-hmm. I want to be a cowboy. Mm-hmm. My ancestors were cowboys. So I let myself go. I let my beard grow, and I took a picture of myself with a beard and a kind of a ratty shirt on, and I looked like a lawyer on a bender. You know? I didn't look like a cowboy. I don't blame him.
All right, now I got to ask you, William Shatner, the greatest scene-chewing actor in the history of the world, is on Boston Legal. What is that like being around this guy?
That guy is just a total pro. I mean, talk about the comeback story of the ages, the showbiz comeback. I mean, he has reinvented himself so many times from a serious actor to Captain Kirk to then a punchline to now he's in on the joke and now he's solid. He knows his lines. I exchanged hello and how are you with him. That was the extent to which, you know, I had any involvement with him. But I wanted to say, you know, oh, my God, Star Trek was such a big thing, you know, for my growing up, et cetera, et cetera. But I knew that if I did, you know, the Shat would have hit this fan, you know. It would not have been pretty. I'm sure he's up to here with people coming up to him saying how much.
You could actually go up to him at the end of the day and say, you know what? I'm going to be the only person who never mentions that other thing.
Yeah. And he'll go, T.J. Hooker?
I was just going to say, you should have set yourself apart and mentioned that. Or, you know, you were great in that movie with the Esperanto and all that, don't you?
When's the T.J. Hooker, the Next Generation, coming out? Because that's what we're waiting for.
You were on the hood of that car, and then they were trying to get you off it?
With one, it was either Heather Thomas or Heather Locklear.
Who I've also worked with, who's also great. Heather Locklear, yes. She worked with her on Ally McBeal. We were talking about our kids and where they're going to school.
Oh, shut up. I don't want to hear Heather Locklear and kids. Oh. I want to hear Heather Locklear and my dreams.
Well, it was an episode with Heather Locklear, Laura Flynn Boyle, Christina Ricci, and me. Mm-hmm. You know, one of these things is not like the other.
We know you were not the thinnest person in the room.
No, this is true.
Is Christina Ricci's head, was it really freakishly big?
It is, but that's true.
I was going to say, like, now that she's even thinner, her head's huge.
But that's true with a lot of TV stars I'm discovering. You know, their heads are physically out of proportion to the rest of their body.
But that's because the rest of their body is really what's out of proportion.
Well, maybe that's what it is. That's a good point. Maybe that's what it is.
You know, it's like they weigh 82 pounds. Two of it is body, 80 is head.
Yeah. But
I've got the smallest head in this room. Kevin, what's your head? Oh, no. Kevin's got maybe even a small head.
I think it's those ginormous headphones that Kevin had.
Yeah, maybe.
So you meet these famous stars, and they're always in perpetual close-up. Because their head is so much comes into the room 2 feet ahead of their own rest of their body.
When is that Boston Legal going to air? Do you know?
Next Tuesday, in fact. I think I'm sure that's why James Spader was on Regis promoting it. Because I got a guy standing behind me in this episode, Austin Tischer. He stands behind me like nobody I've ever had standing behind me.
And while we're talking about great show business careers, Reed Martin was once a Ringling Brothers clown.
That's right. I spent 2 years traveling the country, smelling of elephants and frightening young children.
With James Spader.
With James Spader. I stood behind elephants. That was my job.
That's pretty glamorous too, Reed. Don't put yourself down.
Yeah. I had to sweep up after James Spader once or twice.
What? And quit showbiz?
Yes,
that old joke. Yeah. Yeah.
Try the veal.
Interestingly, never had a job with a coat and tie, have you?
No. Never. Never. After 8 years of university education and, like 3 degrees, I ran away to clown college and joined the circus, spent 2 years with the greatest show on earth as a clown and assistant ringmaster.
I saw those air quotes.
Yes,
you were making with your fingers.
The greatest show on earth. Yes.
Yeah.
Why do we say Ringling, where quantity is job one? Yeah.
Now, when I saw you guys Tuesday night, we went out afterwards and we were talking to some other people, and you were telling a story about what life is like as a clown on the road, on a train. Actually, I guess it's more on the tracks on a train.
Yes.
If it's on the road, there's been an Amtrak accident yet again, and we have to interrupt the show.
Depending on who was ever driving the train. That did happen occasionally. You live – they don't even call it a room. You live in a roomette on a train. So the room is 6 feet long by 3.5 feet wide by 7 feet tall. The first year, my room was 5'8" long.
And how tall are you?
6 feet. So I had to sleep on the hypotenuse, you know.
It's made for a manette.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Most clowns don't know the word hypotenuse.
Yes, Well, that's why they have a lot of little people in the circus. They can fit 50 of them into this room, you know. And then they all come out.
It ain't a joke either.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but the pay, this is what, 1988, it was $180 a week. And they charge you $10 a week to live on their train and charge you a quarter to ride their bus from where they park their train to where they tell you you're going to do the show. Mm-hmm. But all that being said, it was great. Mm-hmm. I played 84 cities in 2 years, 1,000 shows. I mean, in the theater, you do 8 shows a week. Mm-hmm. In the circus, you do 12, 13 shows. It's like 1,000 shows in 2 years.
Wow.
But you learn a lot. You see the country, you know, and I was young and single, and it was a great experience.
Did you ever run into those people who are afraid of clowns? They have that clown phobia, whatever it's called?
Yeah, two of them are sitting next to me over here on the right. One of my children is afraid of clowns. Coincidence? Uh-huh. You decide.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you have your painting of you as in your clown makeup as a shrine on the boy's wall.
Is
and
that
the
right?
problem is?
Yeah. No problem. No, I guess. And it's not leading to nightmares, so that's a good thing.
Let me give the plug again for tickets if you want to go see the Reduced Shakespeare Company and the new show Completely Hollywood. And we'll talk about the other show, The Great Books, which is going to be next month at the Rep. But go see these guys in Completely Hollywood Abridged by getting your tickets at 314-968-4925 or go to the website repstl.org and find out more about them. They've also got a new DVD coming out. We'll talk about that and more when we come back as the Paul Harris Show continues on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Sitting in a studio with Reed Martin, Austin Tichner, and Dominic Conti, the stars of the new Reduced Shakespeare Company show, Completely Hollywood Abridged, which is playing over the Studio Theater stage of the St. Louis Rep this week, and you can get tickets at 968-4925. They're actually going multimedia this month, not only doing theater and radio, but now with a new DVD coming out of another show, which was the History of America Abridged. Was that what it was called?
Yeah. The Complete History of America.
I'm sorry.
Yes. 500 years and 5,000 seconds.
Yes. All the way. And it goes like from the creation of the world all the way, well, at least to the Clinton administration. So kind of Big Bang to Big Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's available through a website that's run by another member of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yes.
Or is he an alumnus now?
He's an emeritus. Yes. An emeritus member. Boy, he has an emeritus member.
His name is Matt Croak, and he's got a website, dvdplayground.com, which is your exclusive distributor, I understand?
That's correct.
Yeah, for the time being.
Take that, Amazon. Yeah. You're not getting our business.
That's right.
We're going with the big boy, dvdplayground.com.
Yeah. You've heard of it. I think he actually wanted to try to name his website cheaper than Amazon.com.
But they had issues with that.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him do that. I don't know why.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, he tries to be, you know, cheaper than Amazon, cheaper than most of the websites out there.
Well, I've met him. He is cheap, so the whole personality there. So
He sells mostly series boxes of TV shows on DVD. A great source for that. And he's selling our new DVD.
Yeah, which we shot in August in Sonoma, California, my hometown, mm-hmm. a beautiful old theater there. And the guy who's editing it and directing it is a guy who shares my role with me, Jerry Kernian, and so he's feverishly working to get it all done.
We just recorded the commentary track for it Sunday night after two shows at the Rep.
Wow.
So it's a very, very busy time for us, which is exciting.
I could tell. And you were actually telling me before we went on that you have an idea for a future commentary track for one of your shows. Is it the book show that you want to do
for
this
the book show? Yeah, we're thinking of turning one of the commentary tracks into a radio drama.
Just for something different.
You know, people do listen to these things, and you know, you want to spice it up a little bit.
Because too many commentary tracks come down to a couple of actors sitting there going, remember this scene? We had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the Spinal Tap commentary is very funny. Ooh, I had her. Oh, look at her. I had her. Oh, I wanted to have her. You know.
Now, the book show, All the Great Books Abridged.
Yes.
You're redirecting other actors in it, and it'll be on the Rep stage, the main stage, mm-hmm. next month. But you've all done the show as well, right?
Yes, we developed it and wrote it, and mm-hmm. so we've been performing it for 4 years. And it's the 89 greatest books of Western literature in under 2 hours. It's more or less a public service. You know, you'll never have to read another book.
Well, I got to tell you, when you say literature, my eyes start fogging over like they did in 11th grade.
We cover poems too, and Dominic starts launching into some Dr. Seuss, and I have to say no, I know that Dr. Seuss is fun, but reading and fun have very little to do with literature.
Exactly. So I mean, I'm a little intimidated by literature.
Oh my god, 89 books, there's no, you know, it's
really
very hard. It's very difficult.
It's hard, but you can do it.
No,
give me a chance. I mean,
what can you do?
Hold on. Well, I'll tell you what I can do. I think I can encapsulate all the great books in like a single sentence.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Try me.
All right. The Origin of Species.
We Came from Apes.
Interpretation of Dreams.
I Love My Mother.
That's it?
No, I really love my mother.
Okay, here we go. The Tao.
Well, it was down 300 points for the week.
The Tao Te Ching.
Desire Nothing.
Walden.
Simplify Your Life.
Thus Spake Zarathustra.
God is Dead.
1984.
Don't trust the government.
Animal Farm.
Don't trust the pigs.
The Feminine Mystique.
Don't trust the pigs.
Yeah.
Okay, Silent Spring.
Don't trust big business.
Canterbury Tales.
don't take a long trip with people who like to tell a long, boring story.
Alice in Wonderland.
Don't do drugs.
On the road.
Do drugs.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Don't mess with nature.
The Odyssey.
Don't write a book in Greek that nobody can understand.
Ah, Ulysses.
Don't write a book in English that nobody can understand.
Uh-huh. Heart of Darkness.
He dies at the end.
Camille.
She dies at the end.
Sunset Boulevard.
Dies at the beginning.
The Bible.
Comes back to life at the end.
Oh.
Directed by Mel Gibson.
True.
The Great Gatsby.
Rich people are screwed up.
Das Kapital.
The workers are screwed.
Oliver Twist.
The workers are screwed.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
The Mockingbirds are screwed.
Picture of Dorian Gray.
Don't be so obsessed with youth.
Moby Dick.
Don't be so obsessed with whale.
Don Quixote.
Sanity is overrated.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Sanity is overrated.
Harry Potter.
Just overrated.
Oh. All right. For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Don't write long sentences.
War and Peace.
Don't write long books.
Star Wars.
Not a book, but Darth Vader's his father.
Shoot. Citizen Kane.
Not a book, but Rosebud is his sled.
Dianetics.
Not a good book, but people will buy anything.
Uh-huh.
Remembrance of Things Past.
I like cookies.
Lolita.
Don't be such a pervert.
The Fountainhead.
Don't rely on anybody else.
Death of Venice.
I like that boy, but now I'm dead.
Crime and Punishment.
I killed that guy, but now I'm dead.
Satanic Verses.
I wrote that book. They want me dead.
Bridges of Madison County.
Don't write this crap.
And Gone with the Wind?
Frankly, my dear, everybody,
I don't give a damn.
There you go. The Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Woo! You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss good money goodbye.
Thanks for having us on, Paul. Next time we'll wear pants.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's cold in here.
On behalf of the people who clean our chairs, thank you twice. All right, so Completely Hollywood Abridged is on the Studio Theater stage of the Rep now. You can get tickets at 968-4925. Next month, it's All the Great Books Abridged. You can get tickets at 968-4925. And also later on this month, the DVD of The Complete History of America Abridged, available not by calling that phone number, but by going to dvdplayground.com.
Or ReduceShakespeare.com.
ReduceShakespeare.com would do it. Anything else you want me to plug for you? Any other Boston Legals or other stuff, Austin?
No, that's it.
Yeah.
Great to see you guys. Thanks for coming
in. Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
the
Paul.
Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reed Martin, Austin Tichner, and Dominic Conti here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.